I have enough recording battery to record all of this that's happening. I'm getting ready to go to a party. I don't really know exactly what that means, but I know that's happening. Right now we're in the car. I'm going to relax here for a second, and then I'm going to come back and tell you the rest of the story.
Ideas into ears. This July, purchase in... Look again.
People I don't know, though. And what that means is because I have put myself in a position where I speak this one kind of thing all the time, oftentimes I have to find ways to express myself as who I am in a myriad of different topics that are taking place in other worlds for other people, i.e. the latest news on NPR. So maybe I might take the opportunity to, if I'm going out into a social situation, listen to NPR for the day, or maybe even for the week, just to really get a good meaty grip on some conversation. Depends on what exactly it is that I'm trying to accomplish. Hang on a second here. Okay, roll up the windows a little bit. That'll make things a little bit quieter while you go with me this entire trip. Or at least the majority of the trip anyways. The entire trip actually took place before the trip itself. I don't really know what's happening now. Now it's just happening. Now I'm just in this car going to this place, and there's going to be people there. And that's pretty much as far as I can go with thoughts. I know who I am, so I can go there and be exactly what that is. But going back to what we were talking about is becoming aware of where you're going to be, where you're going to be going, and how you can find ways to communicate with others about things that they find important in their lives, things that keep them going, things that inspire them. You know, we think of war as such a bad thing, but we forget about all of the really great things that war has brought about. Can we eliminate war in our diets? In my opinion, yes. I really feel like at this point, the way that we are all cultivating one another to begin seeding the idea that we actually have the power within our own self to start self-designing, which means to choose the conditioning that you want to have repetitively put into the body, and watch how that repetitive the fact that there's so much coming to the form of that particular quality over and over and over and over and over again allows the form to start to begin to actually believe that that's the natural state of being. So whatever it is you're putting in your diet for imagery or music or the type of conversation you have with other people, all of that stuff can be expanded upon when you open up the idea that just because you've come to some opinion or another does not necessarily make it true for anyone other than your own self. But to be able to speak your truism through everyone else's truism requires a little bit of research. So you kind of have to sort of keep the pulse of what's going on in the whole planet. And not just topically, not just these happenings that they post, but how consciousness is changing things, how science is changing things, how the human itself is beginning to transform what it is wanting to project in order to begin manifesting that world, so that, again, that war is not necessarily something that has to happen. However, until we get to a zone where there is no war, somehow we have to be able to find a way to recognize the parts of war that are not consistent with a globally happy environment. Obviously, we all have our own ideas of what happy is, but it seems to be pretty consistent from zone to zone, that happy generally has a pleasant feeling to it. So we can go with happy. I tried love, I tried truth. Those two are, they're suffering. They're drowning out there, people. They're like, I don't know how exactly we did it, but we took those two words and we threw them all the way through the meat grinder and they came out like pulp. And nobody can make any sense of which parts are the truth and which parts are the love. And it's all just sort of lumped into one thing. Even love and truth are multidimensional, which that goes back to, you know, recognizing what's going on in the planet. Like I said, it's not just what's happening, but that there's so many different dimensions of perceptions happening at the same time that all of that's happening. We've got people that are, you know, gurus beyond measure, that people look at them and see them sitting there and they'll pass a judgment on the little amount of activity that particular guru activates on the planet, that he's not building buildings or setting up bank accounts or, you know, doing business with people, trying to do some sort of commerce. But his form isn't designed for that. If he's doing that, she's doing that, whatever this brilliant energy is that's come to the space of recognizing the least is actually quite a pleasant space to be in. That not having all of this stuff in order to project the energy in a more focused way. Unless you've actually experienced that, you can't comprehend that. So that's a dimension filter. That's a specific set of eyes with a specific kind of ability to see certain qualities about how this planet as an organism, one whole big thing, is moving around. And whether they articulate that through quantum physics or they articulate that through the Bhagavad Gita is of no concern to me. They've gotten to some space where they can see that and they live it. So there's those people that get it, and then there's all of the dimensions in between here, there, and all the way to someone that might view the situation from a judgmental perspective or a racial perspective or a sexist perspective, or, you know, anybody that is closed off to the idea that a woman is actually a positive thing to consider when considering things, and that a specific races don't matter when it comes to making decisions. It's really just, you know, consciousness. But when you're making decisions based on race and based on sex and all that, then that's a type of consciousness. That's a type of space that still, for some reason, likes to linger in the duality of it all. It likes to hang out in weird separatist land. And, you know, when it comes to the whole 0 points of separation, just a hair of reading will get the body to light up and resonate. Unless you're telling a story. If you're trying to say, you know, well, this is me and this is what I do and this is what our family's done and it's been like this since forever and so I know that this is true. If that's who you are and you're happy, I'm cool with it. If that's who you are and you run around pointing your fingers at everybody else and yet you can't stand your own life, you might want to revamp the plan. You might want to turn the finger around from out to in and then start saying, okay, it doesn't even really matter what I choose to do. Because we, again, here we are with the axial philosophy. Fully sustainable people. Where choice is really all there is. So he's got the choice to stay there or to go. To stay with the pattern and learn to be happy in it. Or to go and find some other space to begin learning about, which that's really all there is. I mean, once you make a choice, there's learning about whatever it was that you chose. So if you chose to stay with something that irritated you all the time, then what you're really saying is, I would rather learn the lesson of how not to be irritated rather than put it on that person as if they're irritating you. So then the person becomes a tool. And people would say that that objectifies someone, but I would say that that's probably one of the safest ways humans can actually learn to begin to scientifically break themselves down. The biggest issue, I think, comes to the time frame involved. Not seeing results fast enough, really, people just jump right off. It's so painful sometimes to watch how the addictions to all of that external stimulus has caused so much of the physical form, so many of the physical forms on this planet, that very big part of the organism, oddly, well, actually not so oddly, a really small part in contrast to like all of the animal collective, insect collective, ocean life collective, tree collective, blah, 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 all of that stuff. Humans versus all of that. We're pretty, you know, people, we're just not, we don't take up that much space. And at this point, if we don't start snapping it into shape, which brings us to the next space, after you learn something, you kind of adapt to it. So what do you want to learn? What's your choice? And what do you want to learn? Do you want to learn to be happy with being frustrated, or learn to be happy not being frustrated? Or do you want to go and realize, I've already learned that I don't need to be frustrated with this particular behavior, and I already recognize that that's not something that I'm going to change my mind on, so I'm going to move on. And then everybody says, well, what do I do? You never know what's going to happen anyways. What I do is I say, I'd rather be ahead of the change. I'd rather be ahead of what's going to naturally happen anyways, because change happens no matter what. But I kind of want to guide the change. People say, well, Adina, that's controlling. I was like, no. I just really allow myself to create a pattern of non-patterns, arriving and leaving on different days at different times, with different events having happened right before or right after the departure or the arrival, to move my bed around to make sure that some of the times my head is heading north or west or south or east, and creating change in the little ways puts me in line with everything that's already changing on the planet that I can't control anyway. But it keeps me fresh in my own space, so that when I do arrive to the changes, that I'm ready to roll with them, because it's all I've conditioned myself to do. It's what I see as the most natural state of being. And when I look at the notion of the Earth's axis tipping, even just a hair, that the animal kingdom and plant environment would make its own shifts if the temperatures were so drastic of a change, would make their own migrations. They would naturally just start turning with the planet. Maybe particular animals and birds don't ever really move so much, or maybe they start adapting to the environment differently. You know, we don't see how evolution works when it's happening in this moment right before our physical eyes, because it's like you're taking a scenic tour of the universe and stopping to get off the light speed comet and take a little mosey around the planet, this organism that's floating in space, and you just landed, and you're going to explore it, and you're going to check it out, and you're going to share those ideas with people. So for the humans to be all blocked up in these houses, they stay in these houses, they stay put. I really dig the ones that are nomadic to the degree they've got 4, 5, 6 houses around the planet. That's a pretty swell gig. I mean, that is, in my opinion, monetary system aside, and, you know, political correctness aside, everything aside, just recognizing it as an airplane being a bird, and the human inside, you know, is this bird, and it moves from Spain to Africa to Florida to Alaska or whatever, depending on what's happening in its life. It designed its life so that it could do that. It made choices so that it could get there and do that. It may or may not have made choices that another human favors specifically, but it made those choices. Anyhow, so they learned, then they adapted to their environment, and they came to a space of being the type of being that's evolved to the degree that it recognizes that the world itself can be its home, that it doesn't have to have just this one little home and this one little space. The more globally aware we become of one another, I think the easier it is for people to start comprehending how big the Earth is and how many people around the Earth are actually feeling and going through a lot of the same things that they themselves are going through. That we've put up these state lines and country lines, and we've all white picketed our fences around our little zone. And we've said, this is how we're going to do it here. But with so much of that zoning, so much of that boxing, 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 we've become conditioned to wanting to be in a box. And we've forgotten what it's like, potentially, to roam freely about the space. And I understand the whole passport thing, and I get the citizenship thing and coming and going. I understand that story. That totally, I mean, I don't know how exactly an entire globe in any amount of quickness would be able to reestablish itself as a free world community when we've gotten ourselves so deeply rooted and entrenched in so many of these, in my opinion, viral infections, these little wars, these North Koreas and South Koreas and North Sudans and South Sudans and Irans and Iraqs and, you know, Russias and Chinas and the States. And I mean, it's like I can go everywhere in the world and we've got something. It's like these little oozing sores, little uncomfortable pockets of pain on the earth body itself. There isn't anybody really at fault, I don't see. I understand that it's easy to point fingers and try and blame somebody, but honestly, if we treat what looks like some of the most painful experiences as if we were the parent of those painful experiences, and how we would try to better engage our child in a manner that had their energy exerted in something a little more favorable to the global perspective. This goes back to my idea. I was like, yeah, you guys want to fight each other? Fine. Are you really addicted to killing? Fine. Then you guys go live on this island over here. We'll send you supplies. It's not like we want you dead. That's not our thing. But this is why I dig Norway. I watched this little snippet on YouTube, and you know, they've got an island of prisoners, but it's an environment that I think is conducive to being able to train the consciousness itself to become more aware of itself in a way that's not degrading and dehumanizing and painful. I get that they're doing things that are not kind. I get that they've hurt someone else. I understand that I haven't had an opportunity to have someone offend me in such a way that I would have to be in a situation where I would put someone into a prison situation. But I still see them as collective part of the space that we all share. So the forgiveness factor is always such a big part of why I even breathe, I think. I know I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. Not mistakes now, obviously, because I can look at it and say, okay, everything happens for a reason, and did you learn from them? And yes. So then I look back and say, well, they weren't mistakes then they were lessons, and you learned them, and good job, and that's great. But when I'm going through them, they're feeling like mistakes because the people around me are telling me that I'm messing up and that I'm making mistakes and that I need to fix these mistakes that I've made. And I've come to see that when you tell someone that they're wrong, it doesn't feel good to their bodies. And I really don't know how everyone's going to learn all at the same time how to start speaking more constructively to one another and assuming less and asking more questions and taking time. You know, this is a thing I learned in my Native American anthropology class. Taking time to give the entire community a moment to speak and wait. Just let the chief speak, they wait, they pass the stick to the shaman, shaman speaks, they wait, the community speaks, they wait. I mean, it's like, it's just this moment where everybody has an opportunity. The spiritual dude has the opportunity, the political dude has the opportunity, the community has the opportunity to all get a little piece in there and take time with it. See, this goes back to the instant gratification. And what are you going to condition yourself with? Do you want to always feel good moment to moment to moment to moment, but know that the only way that you can feel that is if you're constantly satisfying that moment to moment to moment to moment with stuff? Or would you like to know that from moment to moment to moment, you can actually find a way to be completely satisfied without having any stuff come into your mind at all? Knowing that you've become so aware of your own mind that you've decided exactly when and where you are going to be purchasing what and for whom. And I don't mean get your Christmas list together and be really good at knowing what everybody wants, which is fine to do too. But what I mean is knowing that you're paying more attention to people personally, engaging in their lives to better understand their own personal dialect so that you can really engage with them in their life and really engage with them in the experience, which is extremely important to me. And this is one of the reasons why here we are, full circle, 9 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen, just outside of party time. This is precisely why taking an opportunity for me to go through and check out some NPR and listen to some music and get caught up on some ideas that might be floating around out there for all of the different dimensions of experience that are going on, so that I can go in and actually have a good time knowing that I don't have to come short-handed with just my own expression, just my own thing. I want to come with a gift, too. I want to show up with something to share with the group. And because this human communication thing is so important, that's all I do. It's not difficult for me. I'm not going out of my way to say something to somebody in a way that keeps me from having my truest self unfold. That has nothing to do with it. It's just a recognition of respect. It's just saying, meet these people brand new every time with fresh something. Fresh you, fresh them, fresh topics. Fresh spins on topics. Something bright, something beautiful, something that's memorable, and something that touches on all of the aspects of our experience. That's the other part of the axial philosophy, is the feelings that we go through whenever we have to make a choice and whenever we're learning what it is that we're learning and what it feels like to expand and really adapt to the space. And what it must feel like to sit there and stand outside of the planet and look at the evolution of the entire thing. Can you get there? Are you able to get out of the form that you're living in and recognize it as a blur with all the other forms and everything else that's on the planet? Stand off of Earth, look at it, and see that it's all connected. It's all growing. Like we're little green buds of beings that are bursting off the planet. Energy. And it's totally within our grasp to learn even more effective ways for our own personal selves by designing the tools that we need to make sure that whatever positive conditioning it is that's going to get us to feeling that future us that we know can actually be right now if we actually choose it. That's what we're going to be doing. And that's what I'm going to be doing at this party. I'm going to be being me and I'm going to be happy. Why? Because it's what I am naturally. I don't have to try that. There's no effort in being that. I was born that way. Has it taken me some time to tame down the optimism from the floaty, dreamy thing? Well, I don't really know. All I know is I've been following intuitions and signs and dreams and visions and little road markers of people and books that have landed in my lap and synchronicities now since I was 2. So when it comes back to the dimensions of awareness, if I'm being taught a certain awareness's language, then to articulate the experience that I'm having when I'm 2 and 4 and 8 and 14 and 16 and 21 and 25 and 31 and 37, I actually need to have words coming into my form that resonate with what it is that I'm feeling and experiencing. So that I can say, oh yes, that word now. Now I've expanded. Now I've come to a much broader awareness of what it is that I'm actually experiencing. But I didn't have those words when I was 2 or 4 or 8 or 13 or... So... What do you do, Adina? What is it exactly that you do? I'm just trying to tell people that they're all moving really fast. And I can guarantee that if I had a live show going right now, I would be accepting a phone call from somebody who would have something to say to me. Either in a kind manner about, yeah, I do move too fast. I noticed it the other day. I was going out to my car. I slammed my hand in the door, and then I got pissed off, and I dropped my keys, and they got stuck in this hole. And then when I went to go get this thing to get the keys out of the hole, I realized that my car, I forgot to put the emergency brake on, and it just started rolling backwards into the street. Always have a choice. And what I do is I give that person an opportunity to ask me a question first. I'm not here to tell anybody what to do. So in that scenario, that person was just getting their words off their chest. And we might have engaged in a conversation. And someone else might call in and say, you don't know what you're talking about. How can you say that? Who do you think you are? And when I can imagine what the person's face looks like when they're saying that to me, I'm pretty sure I can guarantee you what a lot of their experience might be like. You've never lived this life. I can guarantee it if you're saying it to me, because the people I know, the people that believe what I feel is actually an accurate space of existence, that there is a dimension of happiness, that there is a space where we can all reach out to one another and be loved and be love and open and expand our awareness. That's real, people. I'm not going back to the other way. I can't do it. It doesn't make any sense to me. And if you're interested in having a conversation about it, I'm always open. And know that I'm also not judging the way that anybody else is living either. This is what the painful thing is because I don't choose someone else's way, they'll get upset with me for not choosing their way and then claim something from their world, of course, that's not true. I had a friend the other day texts me, "Are you coming to this event?" And because we've already had a repetitive pattern for about 4 years now, where the instant gratification of needing to know the answer would take hold, and invariably an assumption would be made. And of course, not even 30 minutes later, a second text that said, "If you're not interested in communicating with me anymore, then you should probably let me know. That would be kind, etc." Why would that link even be made after 4 years of coming and going and friendship really being tested and never once wavering with that, accepting it all? Why would it even dawn on that person to bring up information that, honestly, I can't even remember? Like, we're talking 3 apartments ago, and for me, like 12 lifetimes ago. That's like 8 months for me is like 12 years. So for me to remember things like that is of no importance. It does not help me. It does not satisfy what is natural to this being, and that is complete optimism for anything. In an effort to enhance the happy in everyone. Not because I'm trying to make people happy, but because it's what I do. It's the being. I can't stop it. Shit, I'm just trying to learn how to work with it. I'm not telling anybody that doesn't feel happy like this thing that looks like it's bouncing around. Sometimes I just sit there and do nothing for hours and hours and hours, days even, without even talking. And I'm happy because I just don't feel like talking. That's all. I've decided that happiest for me is really seriously just whatever's happening right now. And if I don't respond to you in 30 minutes, you've got to just chill out. Just chill out. My mind does not work like that. I don't have thoughts like that. I calculate. I make social communicative decisions. I cultivate dialects. I cultivate the idea that we can cultivate everything. And I don't have time for all of those little tiny chats. And it's not because I think that they're any more or less important than my chats. I'm just saying that I am completely disinterested. So, full circle, here we are on the highway going to this party. And I also recognize now what kinds of chats I'm not interested in having. I understand that there are certain circles that I won't be able to comprehend because that's just the way that it is. It's not a good thing and it's not a bad thing. It's just a recognition that when we learn, we gain so much. No, we don't see it in our bodies. Our bodies are aging at the rate that they're aging. They go at their pace. They're at the physical level. But the mind, that's at the quantum level. That is manipulable. That is able to be bent. That can be twisted. That can turn into work that you can't even comprehend. When you throw futures 10 years out there and say, that's what I'm getting, and then 2 years shy of it, you're feeling probably almost like you're there. Like, how much closer am I going to get? Because I still got 2 years on this thing. So what does that mean? I'm already feeling that satisfied for having worked in the manner that I've worked and learned the things that I've learned and expanded my awareness the way that I did, breaking quite a few bonds with people over probably quite a bit of assumption. Not to anyone's fault, but that's just because of the instant gratification culture that we've pushed on each other. We just have to love each other enough to recognize when it's time to let that go. And it doesn't mean we can't return to it. You can always return to it. Always return to it. But you have to put it down long enough to actually step outside of it and see what it is that's actually happening. I go in there. I had McDonald's. Well, I had a Coke from McDonald's. I'm sipping on it right now. I'll go out to eat at different restaurants. I'm not such a vegetarian that I don't eat what's prepared for me and that I don't enjoy life and tasting what another person has offered me, something that they've worked hard on doing. They're sharing this gift with me. I'm just about sharing the love and sharing the gifts. And if we want to arrive in that space of happiness, then we'll recognize to give those gifts more often than trying to claim the gifts of another. I got told to practice what I preach. I really don't know what that means. At this point, I don't get it. I can't comprehend it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I've been consistent for quite a while. So to hear it from one source repetitively is one of the funniest things I think I've ever experienced in my whole life. However, there is quite an interesting type of energy that takes place in myself and in this other form. So just watching that alone is quite an intense experience, because it's not often that you get a chance to handle such big energy. But big energy is a lot harder to handle than small energy. So sometimes it's best to let it go. And that doesn't mean that you're controlling anything. It means that sometimes we learn certain things and our dialect changes just enough where we don't make sense to one another anymore. That's why marriages are so struggling, in my opinion, because they weren't taught the multiple dimensions of marriage, the ever-expanding beings that are taking place within the marriage. I don't agree with signing papers to attach me to another human. I don't think that I have to do that. But if there were somebody that came to me and became special in my life and we decided to spend the rest of our lives together, it would be nice if someone would have told us that we were multidimensional beings, that we would be arriving to one another in a certain space, and that we would be traveling along a path, each of us coming to a different kind of awareness about our expanding as we learn things, and that we may or may not actually arrive there at the same time. And sometimes we're going to be getting into these arguments and we got to wonder, you know, how did this happen? How did this argument happen? Well, that's energy. That's how that works. The argument isn't supposed to be there because happiness is supposed to be there. So there's something that wasn't being closely monitored or fine-tuned, or there became too many repetitive patterns and the forms became bored. And started seeking again, you know, whatever. I mean, there's a million reasons why, or how I view the act of an argument. I definitely do not have the same belief about why humans' behaviors are what they are. And I also recognize, at least, that I have a tendency to separate behavior from the human, that it's not the person that is the issue, but that there's a chain link of manifestations from micro to macro that have this form behaving in this particular manner. And if you can get down to the root of what it is, then you'll more than likely be able to also manifest not having that behavior show up anymore. In the beginning, when you start making choices to change behaviors, your mind is very quick to do it. To get the body to show up is a whole nother situation. And a lot of times people will frown at themselves and feel bad about, you know, not remembering something or not tending to something that they said they were going to take care of or whatever. And if you get down on yourself, then you're doubling up on it. Then you're forgetting or choosing not to do it, and you're beating yourself up for forgetting, or for, you know, if you forget, you just forget and you can't beat yourself up. And if you choose not to do it, then you just have to recognize you made a choice and now it's time to make another new choice. If you beat yourself up, you're asking to have more of not working show up, because your brain is going to feed off of the not showing up, and it'll feed off of the attention that you give to the abuse of the body too. So it remembers everything you do. There is no there's no forgetting any of it. So it's a very fine line when it comes to taking things into the form and how the physiology reacts to it. I don't know all of the finer points. If I understood how all of it worked, I certainly wouldn't be some girl sitting in a garage doing what she calls quantum molecular painting. And geez, oh Pete. And writing, you know, blogs and doing YouTubes and, well, I guess maybe I probably would. Actually, I probably would. I really do like it. But I'd probably be a physicist, you know? I mean, I remember, another friend made a joke. Seriously. This is when we were studying Buddhism and doing the karma thing and the reincarnation thing, the study of understanding what a lot of that was. And one of the jokes was that I wasn't going to come back as a physicist. And I remember giving him the evil eye. Because I was like, excuse me? I'm pretty sure that if in fact I could house all of the memory I needed to keep my energy moving in the direction it's moving, I'm pretty sure I could shoot myself into a position of physicist. But I've chosen a kind of physicist this time, so I'll be this kind of physicist right now and keep manifesting whatever that means as time goes on and really be okay with all of it. At this point, I have to go to the bathroom. I am now in town and it is 9:30 and I've been talking for 41 minutes and we are not going to make it to the party with you. Helps if I stop the car. Wow. There are like cops everywhere. Like every corner there's a cop. Oh, I really gotta pee real bad. Oh, I really gotta pee real bad. I really, really, really gotta pee real bad. I gotta pee real bad. Oh, kitty kitty. Tiny kitty kitty. Skinny kitty. Okay. Okay. Here and going to the bathroom. Thank goodness. Oh wow, it's hot. I don't know if anybody's home, but I do know that I have a key. Watch out, kitty. Okay, I'm ready. Oh, yay, she brought my... I can't let you out, cat. Sorry. Watch out. Sorry, baby. Does not feel like... that smells goodish. Not much better. But... anywho... I'm gonna... climb inside the car tonight. I'm gonna go for a ride, alright. Gonna take it round the world with a band. Gonna see a couple of real good friends. Guess it's true, that's what I do. might make it there together. I don't know for sure. And it looks like it's going to be a difficult time getting across this here road. Maybe not, though. Maybe we're good. The police officer is going to go, and she's going to go, too. Sweetness. Mr. Officer, you could have gone just a little bit faster. I know you wanted to eat your Subway. But that's okay. Nobody knows what time it is, so nobody knows what officer you are. We are strolling down the back side of the west side of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Coming up on Dayton and Garfield. Lovely little Sacred Heart of Jesus Church, where many of the functions for my good family, the Hoop Derps, and we are going to come up on the Coca-Cola Bottling Company of Grand Rapids, Michigan, and start heading around the bend. And we're at 46 minutes, people, so if we can get there in 15, we're doing okay. Although I do feel like I should, well, I guess I can push it to 60. That's what's supposed to happen. I wonder if that's what's supposed to happen. Just push a whole full hour. Think we can do that? That soda from McDonald's is so watered down and ouchy and so not very tasty that I can't even tell you. Like, I really can't even tell you. I should actually probably pull over and put my stuff in the trunk before. Yeah, that makes sense. No, I'll do that in a minute. No, I'll do that now. Well, I'll do that relatively shortly, as soon as I find a good spot to pull over. Because then I don't have to lock my car doors. Then I don't have to lock my car. My car is so neat. I really love being in it. I don't drive it often, and when I do, it's usually for a really fun thing. And on the inside, I've just drawn all over it. Lots of loving things. Educate all. Peace comes when we outwit our own ego. The poor are broke, not broken. And a lot more. Omani Padme Hum, of course. We are love. Best idea of the mind was that it dwell in the heart. See, so this is my conditioning. I chose this. I chose to decorate my car to say things to me that I wanted to have in my life. I was tired of the tired of the yelling and the anger. Not that I ever did the yelling, but I've yelled a couple times. I've not been happy about it when I have, and it's usually very big and very explosive. I guess I shouldn't say it's usually anything, because I can't honestly remember the last time that I raised my voice at anybody, really. It's been probably at least a year and a half, maybe even longer. But anyway, let's see, when's the last time I raised my voice? Well, I kind of raised my voice in my writing the other day, I guess. That sort of counts, too. Yes, even what you're feeling when you're writing counts. All of that is real stuff. My tummy's grumbling. I feel like I'm kind of hungry. I wonder if I'm supposed to bring anything. I always feel so sad when I have to take my car over the train tracks. It's a very treacherous experience for old Green. That's what I call her. Name of my car is Green, people. Guess what color she is? Yes, it's a she. Which does then, of course, not make it possible to be an it. So she's a she. We are coming up on the highway. man. I came up in there to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, can you be a little quieter?
Where are you?
I was upstairs.
Oh, sorry. Dang, I thought you were gone for some reason. It seemed quiet.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. All right, well, I'm going to go and make my face known.
All right, word. I gave Ginny, she put on the hard drive, the radio show, and I gave her the paper that had all the stuff on it, and then went back to her house, she put the hard drive into her computer, downloaded that whole thing, so then she can figure out how to get them all together.
Oh, wow, sweet.
So I told her that she could contact you about the rest of it from now on.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. Well, I'm going to go do this, and I will catch you on the flip. All right, bye. Okay. Well, that's it. And I'm pretty sure it's on Prospect, but if I don't show up to this place, this is going to be insane, because the reason I started recording this in the first place was because so many weird things happened. The car was shaking. I left my phone. I ended up not going. The computer dropped, lost internet service like 6 times and caught a virus, and it was just like, whoa, what the heck. Anyways, so now finally on the road and probably arriving at a party of some sort. Maybe I'll have to see. Go this way because there isn't any other way. Can't go that way because it's a detour. We're driving on Brick Road, which has lots of grass growing in it. But that is a lot of what downtown Grand Rapids was brick roads. We've paved over most of it, but some of it we've kept and some of it we've even redone with newer brick. And it is quite a pleasure to drive on. So, brick can be good. But that brick that I was just on, not so good. Poor Green. She can't take it. Her boots can't take it. Let us just see what there is to see. I never really know if I'm really gonna do it, but it's true, I'm gonna try. Rotary in the middle of the, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I'm here right now. Okay, now let's go ahead and... here, and it looks like 53 is where it's at because there's no point in trying to grab 2 seconds of a party. So, thanks so much for joining us here at Nuclear Visions. Isn't that great? We're listening and we're coming up with visions in our head. Like when I speak, sometimes I hear pictures. Wow, they're jamming. I'm gonna put my stuff in the trizunk. Right here. No, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to keep you with me. Sorry. I only have 5 minutes left anyways. Thanks a lot, you guys. Have a good night.